definition was Daniel Shainabas and Yeshua followed. Okay, thank you everyone for coming this evening. Thank you, Reverend Cement, for inviting me to share some Divrei Torah before Rosh Hashanah. And it's always a big schus to be here once or twice a year, plus maybe more Shabbos a year. So I thank you all for coming. We now are 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, and a pasuk that comes to mind, a pasuk in Tehillim, Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagein. Right? We say this pasuk a lot in the davening, in the kiddush. It's a very thematic pasuk for this zman, and it talks about the blowing of the shofar. Bakesa is, the Gemara tells us, is Rosh Hashanah. The word Bakesa, because why? Because it's the one holiday that the moon is hidden. Because usually holidays like Sukkot and Pesach are in the middle of the month, where we have a full moon. But Bakesa, Rosh Hashanah, is at the beginning of the month when we don't have hardly anything, so it's hidden. Liyom Chageinu, which the Yalkut Shimoni says, is referring to Chag HaSukkos. So, basically, the Yom Narayim season starts Tiku B'chodesh Shofar B'kesa Liyom Chageinu. It makes an umbrella from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Chageinu to Sukkos. Footnote writes about this, others, but it seemingly, therefore, indicates that there's a certain progression that exists, beginning with Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then concluding with Sukkot. And there are many, many ideas that could be articulated in this context. And I'd like to focus on perhaps one idea that brings us through this tekufa, and hopefully it should make it even more meaningful for us. There is a famous Medrash Rabbah in the on the pasuk by Sukkos, Ulkachtem Lochem Bayom Harishon. As we know that Sukkos, we take the Dal Minim, we take it the whole holiday, except on Shabbos. But really, as far as the Torah is concerned, it's only on the first day. The real Torah mandate to take the Lulav is only L'kachtam L'chem by Yom HaRishon. And Yom HaRishon, of course, means the first day of Sukkos. However, the Medrash asks a question and says, "Yom HaRishon, is Sukkos on the first day? Sukkos is on the 15th day." Now, obviously, to us, the question wouldn't have been a question because the first day means the first day of the holiday, the 15th day means the 15th day of the month. But yet, the Medrash says the fact that the Torah articulates itself with using the word what? Yom Rishon, it seemingly has a special significance not to talk about the holiday from the perspective of the 15th of the month, at least in the context of the Dal Minim, but to discuss it with the term Yom Rishon. So even though, of course, that means the first of the holiday, but it could have spoken from the perspective of the 15th of the month, and it decided to put the emphasis on Yom Rishon. So what is the significance, says the Medrash, of Yom Rishon? So the Medrash says, Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos. It is the first day of our new count of Averus, which literally means that we were forgiven on Yom Kippur for everything that we did in the previous year. Hopefully we did tshuva and we were forgiven. So now is the new slate. So the new slate begins on Sukkot. It's the beginning of a new slate. We'll get new Averus to, you know, after we had the old year's Averus, finish with that. And then there's a question that people ask, what about the days in between? Some Mefarshim write that, you know, the days in between, we're so busy getting ready for Sukkot, we don't have time to sin. That's an interesting notion. That requires its own shiur that hopefully I'm going to be giving in YU. You probably can hear it in YU Torah, the shiur about the significance of the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so you can hear it online. They're going to have the Monday before Yom Kippur, a marathon day of shiurim, so I think that I'm going to speak about that topic, because that's a topic that people usually don't speak about. Speak about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. What about those days in between? The significance of those, you know, 4 days in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. But whatever it is, the Medrash says that the new Cheshbon Avonos is on the beginning of Sukkot, and therefore it emphasizes what? Lakachtum lachem b'yom harishon. So Rav Levi Yitzchak Mardichev has another interpretation of what it means, Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos. In other words, besides the idea that this is a new slate of Averus, etc. And he says the following. If we would take the three Yamim Tovim of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and divide them in two parts, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur would be the part that we emphasize Yira. It's more austere, more serious note to it. And Sukkot, as we call Zman Simchaseinu, it's more the Ava angle. So therefore, we would divide it, says the Kedushas Levi, into two things. Tshuva Meyira, the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and Tshuva Me'ava, Sukkot. Now the Gemara in Yuma tells us that there are the potency and the efficacy of Tshuva Me'ira is not the same level as Tshuva Me'ava, because Tshuva Me'ava is obviously a higher level. You want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love, not just because you're afraid of the outcome of the din on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Yuma that Tshuva Meira, this donos, whatever we aveira we did willfully, will become what? Shgogos. In other words, it'll be like we did it b'shogeg. So that's the level. It's one level. It's not a complete level, but it's tshuva meira. We did it. We did tshuva, but we're still, because we're afraid. Just very simple. We're afraid that the coming year should be a good year for all of us. So we do tshuva. We say we regret what we did in the past, and we don't want to do it again in the future. And that's tshuva what? Tshuva meira. But then the Gemara says tshuva me'ava is a higher level. Because tshuva me'ava, the Gemara says, is donos, become what? Zchuyos. So it was whatever we did, the averus that we did, b'mezid, now, if we do tshuva me'ava, become merits, become mitzvos. I always like to explain it based on the words of the Dubna Magid, that said that Now, Avram Avinu obviously grew up in not such a good home, right? You know, Terach's home wasn't the home that, you know, he'd like to write on a Shidduch resume that he grew up in such a, you know, in such a household. But yet, the Duvda Magna says that Avram Avinu was considered a tzaddik from birth. How could you say such a thing? He didn't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam until later in his life. So how could he be considered a tzaddik from birth? And he explains, the answer is, because we know that Avram Avinu and his wife, Sarah, were the pioneers of the Kiruv movement, of the pioneers of what? Of bringing people to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how did they do it? Because most people would say, you know, you grew up in such a home, you believed in God, so you don't know what we're going through. You don't know the other side of the story. So we can't really relate to you and listen to what you have to say. But Avram Avinu, growing up in such a home, retroactively used that as a merit. Because now he says, I'm telling you, you know, about the belief in God because I know what idolatry is. I grew up in such a home of idolatry. And yet, I'm telling you, so now retroactively, he gets credit even for the years that he was in such a environment of idolatry and gets schar for that as well. And Avram is called Avram Ohavi because he came to it through love of God. And sometimes when you get to that level, in other words, you could relate to people on a broader level. Not to say that a person wants to be there l'chatchila in such a situation, but whatever his life situation brings him, if he uses it in a proper way, even the things that he did prior now are vehicles for him to relate to a broader scope of people and bring them under Kalfei Hashchina, he'll get credit for that as well. And hence, what? The Tshuva Me'ava, which is the Tshuva of what? Of Sukkos, Zdonos Nasa Lo what? Kizchuyos. Oh. So it explains the Kedusha Levi now to understand what is the idea of Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos. He says, Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos, the simple pshat means now you were forgiven on Yom Kippur and now the new slate is beginning. No, he says like this, you're forgiven on Yom Kippur, but the forgiveness of Yom Kippur, the tshuva on Yom Kippur, was a lower level than the up-and-coming tshuva that will be on Sukkos. So what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Sukkos is now going to count again the averus you did, because now the purpose of the count is not just for forgiveness, but what? To take them and convert them into merits. And therefore, Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos means, since there's now, says the Kedushas Levi, there's a tshuva what? Me'ava, and that tshuva me'ava is going to cause all the averus to become zechuyos, as we just explained. So hence, Hashem is saying, you know, I'm now going to recount all the averus, because now I have another reason to recount the averus, because now we're going to convert them all into merits. And that's what it means. It's the beginning of the new count, not the new count of averus, but the new count of averus towards converting those averus into zechuyos. And that's how he explains it. So we see this idea that the progression from Rosh Hashanah to Sukkos is the progression from what? From Yira to Av. In fact, that's one of the reasons brought down, the Sheni Shmuel quotes from the Simcha Bunim of Parshnitzka, that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, even though it's a Yontif. You know, every Yontif we say Hallel. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are also considered Yom Tov. And we don't say Hallel because the Gemara says that Sifrei Chayim and Sifrei Mesim Psuchim, that since Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the books of life and death are open and the fate of every human being is on the line, so it's a time, like the Rambam says, it's not a time of Simcha Yisrael, it's not a time of overabundance of joy. Because if somebody's, he's going to be judged, his fate is going to be judged, so that's not a time that a person has the full joy that he would have afterwards. So therefore, it's not a time of Hallel. We feel, as the Rav Simcha Bunim of Pershiska quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Meirachok Hashem Nirali. We feel distant, but the distance, if you feel distant from somebody, but when you come closer, then the closest feels even greater since there was a distance initially. If there was no distance initially, then you're not going to feel it. So in the beginning, it's a feeling of awe, it's a feeling of distance, it's a feeling of uncertainty. And then what? We come to what? To Sukkot, which is the time of Simcha. And that's our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. But I feel that this idea of movement from Yira to Ava, from Yira to Simcha, exists not only in the context of our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, but also exists in the context of our relationship to each other. Let me explain. We know the two psukim in Chumash that refer to Rosh Hashanah that also have the context of Achdus. What are these two psukim? Anyone have an idea? One pasuk, Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. The Zohar HaKadosh says, and you can also look in the Sefer Paner Raza, from that the word hayom, based on a pasuk in Eve, hayom, the day. What does the day mean? The special day is Rosh Hashanah. And that's how many Meforshim explain Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. Hayom means Rosh Hashanah. You're all standing in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. Atem Nitzavim Hayom. That special day. Now, etc. Sometimes you'll find in the world people feel connected if they were together in a certain time of stress or time of danger. And they all went through it together. So you feel connected to people who went through that same thing with you together. Those people were in certain situations together. Even though it wasn't a joyous situation. It was a very tense situation. It was a very precarious situation. But we went in it together. So the Achdus of Rosh Hashanah, on one hand, of Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, all together, that Achdus comes from what? That common danger, or the common lack of knowledge of what our fate is going to be for the year to come. But we all went through it together on that same day. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, we all went through the Ribono Shel Olam, like the Kevakaras Roa Edro, just like the shepherd is counting each of the animals as they pass through the corral, and each one is accounted for, so too each one is going through the Ribono Shel Olam's watch. That's one pasuk. Then, as the Sefer Zichron Shmuel points out, pasuk in the Zos HaBracha, Vahi Bishur Melech V'Sasef Rosh Ha'om Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. That, and Rashi writes, when Klal Yisrael is Baguda Achas V'Sholom Beinayim Hu Malka. In other words, part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the Melech, say L'Moshe L'Havdil, Melech Boser V'Dom, a human king, what gives him the potency of being a melech? Because everyone is subordinate to this one being. So that brings everyone together, because if there would be anarchy and people wouldn't be listening and rebelling, then that's going to be a lack of the malchus of the king. So in Rosh Hashanah, it is man of malchus, right? Is we reaffirm our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the king of the world, and that brings us all together. But again, being in front of the king in the world is also not a time where you can't really be yourself. If you're in front of such a powerful being, you can't be yourself. You're shaking. But it brings us, we're all together, because we all have that one king, that what? That we're all subordinate to. That also brings an achdus, but the achdus is what? It's from fear, from yira, from awe, but it's still not the ava and the simcha that we have. So it's a measure of unity. It's true, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem is unity, that pasuk in Nitzavim, and the pasuk of what? Vahi Bishron Melech Pesasef Rosh Hayom Yachad Shiftei Yisrael in Zos HaBrocha is unity, but one is the unity of coming through the common judgment, that common or the unity of being in the presence of the king, the presence of a melech. In fact, some of Farshim explain that one of the reasons for the minhag of Tashlich is because when a king is anointed, where would they anoint the king? They would anoint the king by a body of water, to show that just like the body of water flows, so too the king's kingdom should flow for many years to come. That's one of the reasons that's given for this minhag. And because, again, we reaffirm our belief in the Malchus Shamayim on Rosh Hashanah. But again, the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a tshuva of Yira. But on the other hand, and the Achdus, which exists from people, stems from that same Yira that created the tshuva Meira, also the Achdus as well. But then we progress to Sukkos. And Sukkos is a different tone. There's a different tone. It's, you know, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Heviani, the Shem Yishmuel points out, Heviani HaMelech HaDorav, the king is inviting me into his home. In other words, because the sukkah is what? Is the abode of the Ribono Shel Olam. The sukkah has kedusha. You know, if in the middle of Sukkos you would want to use, in the old days, I grew up in the bamboo tkufa. You know, people still use bamboo on their scot. Now we're in the mat. When my father grew up, they would use branches of trees, cut off branches of trees for schach. Then I don't know, people decided bamboo was the way to go. Now people have enough of the bamboo, they decided the mats are the way to go. And each one has its halakhic discussions and things like that. You have to make sure you're getting it from a proper source. Because sometimes a mat, if it's made to sleep on, you know, so then it's makabel tuma, because, and therefore it would be, you know, invalid. So that's an important thing to make sure that the place where you're getting your, sometimes people, you know, can go just to a Home Depot and get something, and it could be questionable whether that would be proper. So we want to make sure, you know, that's something that comes up a lot. And the other thing I'll mention parenthetically, you know, you always get a question. I don't know why they wait till 2 days before Sukkot to tell me that their sukkah is underneath a tree. So, you know, a lot of times it's young married couples, so a lot of times they haven't been in this the new, in their wife's home or their home, a new place, and they say, hey, you know, this sukkah is underneath a tree, what do we do? That's also, you know, so you should be aware. Luckily, Mikra-Din women are putter from sukkah, so it's really the men's headache, it's not the headache. But still, you'd like to be in a nice kosher, like to be in a nice kosher sukkah. So if in the middle of sukkahs you would want to take off the bamboo or the mat to use it for something else, you're not allowed to, because there's kedusha that is chal on the sukkah. The Gemara says the chal shem shamayim al hasukkah. The sukkah has a measure of kedusha because it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's abode, which he's what? He's letting us what? Come in his abode. And I think the Shem Yishmuel also quotes the pasuk, v'imino techapkeni, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what? Is embracing us with his right hand. And some before should point out, it means like this, because really a sukkah could be two walls, and the third wall could be a tefach. So that's what it is. You have two parts of the arm, and then the hand is two mechitzos, and the third one, a tefach, so that's the embrace of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is, that's a whole different thing. In other words, the rest of the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's like the king is in the palace. You know, Elul happens to be the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, speaks about the Melech Basode. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the king in the Sode. It's like when you go up to the Catskills or the Poconos, you know, so people are more laid back when they're there. So you see a big person, but he's, you know, more sometimes more approachable. You know, that's called the Melech Basode. And Elul is the Dalai Tanya says, is the Melech Basode. Once he's in the ear, so then he's behind the closed doors, and you know, you have to make a special appointment, and it's a whole different thing. But we get to Sukkot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inviting us, Heviani HaMelech HaDorav, as it says in Shir HaShir. And that is another relationship that we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam of Ava, of Kirva. And the two interesting things that are brought down, the Gemara in Sukkah and Chav Zayin on the base. The Gemara says, "Chachamim omrim afal pi sha'omru ein adam yotze yidei chavoso v'yontav rishon b'lulovo shal chavero," that a person cannot use his friend's lulav on the first day of Sukkot, because it has to be lochem, it has to be yours, unless he gives it to him as a matana manas lahachzir, but it really has to be yours. Aval yotze yidei chavoso b'sukaso shal chavero. But a person could be yotze on the first, even the first day of Sukkot, with the sukkah of his friend. How do we know? The siv kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkos. That all of Klal Yisrael could be in the sukkah. Now, how does that work? If all of Klal Yisrael is in the sukkah, or so That means each one is lending a part of his part to the other person. So it's this communal sukkah. Melamed shekol Yisrael ruuyim leishev besukkah achas. All of Klal Yisrael is fit to be in one sukkah. Kol ezrach b'Yisrael yeshev basukkas. That's a fascinating idea. I never understood this Gemara until I got married, because my wife is from the Lower East Side. In the Lower East Side, there's these big communal sukkahs. So sukkahs, you're with the whole community. So it's a very nice experience. And you're not just with your family, you're with everyone's family. So then I understood what this Gemara meant. Uim Kol Yisrael Leishev B'Sukkah Achas. They have a couple of them, but okay. So, but the idea being that Sukkot is the time where we can all be together in one abode. And we know that the famous Medrash, which I'm sure you all heard of, is that the Dalaminim represent different types of people. The Esrog is, you know, has the smell and the taste. Those are the big tzaddikim, and the lulav and the hadassim have the smell but no taste, and the aromas don't have anything, right? So lulav, etc. So each one represents different type of person, but they're all coming together. They're all coming together on Sukkot. So Sukkot represents both the idea that we're all together in the same abode, even if you don't live in a place where there's a communal sukkah, but conceptually, we all come together in the same abode. And that's why sukkah, what is, in Tanakh, what is the word sukkah sometimes referred to? The Beis HaMikdash. And as we say, you know, Harachamam Hiyokem Lanu, as sukkahs David Hanafalas. It means the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is the one place where we all come together. It's the one place of all coming together, and that's the achdus. So now, what's the point? The achdus comes together, but not like in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where it's because we were all afraid of something. So we all have this common fear, so we're all brought together. But we all have this common closeness with the Ribono Shel Olam. And as we'll see soon, there's a certain relationship that exists on Sukkot, you know, after, but you only can appreciate it, says Rav Simcha Bun Bar Shlitzcha, if first you had that so-called distance. Even though Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Hashem is available, but it's still that yira that, you know, you feel you're being judged. When you feel you're being judged by somebody, you don't feel as close to them. You feel not being but judged by them. So it's not the same, but you feel a different feeling when a person is what? Was inviting you into their house. It's funny, look at this cup of water. It reminds me of the following. You know, on Sukkot also, we have a mitzvah that we don't have the whole year round, when they had the Beis HaMikdash. And what was that mitzvah? Nisuch Hamayim. Nisuch Hamayim. Now there's the whole year round on the Mizbeach, you pour wine on the Mizbeach. And at Sukkot, you pour wine and also what? Also water. So, and if you, what is it based on? A lot of different ideas. You know, if you look in Parshas Pinchas, by the Korbanos for Musaf on Sukkot, so on the second day, the sixth day and the seventh day, there's an extra letter. In the first day, it's Niske Hem, an extra Mem. That's the second day. And the sixth day is the extra Yud. Unisacheha, extra Yud spelled with a Yud. And on the seventh day, there's an extra Mem, Kimishpatam. So an extra Mem, Yud Mem, that's the Remez that Chazal have for Mayim in by Sukkot. But what's the idea of Mayim? So there's a lot of things to say. But I'll tell you a story. I was once, my oldest son, Baruch Hashem, was born on Sukkot. He was born on Sukkot last this last past Sukkot was his bar mitzvah. So he was born at Sukkot, so the Beth Israel Hospital, that's near the Lower East Side, Beth Israel Hospital. So I was eating lunch in the Sukkot in the hospital. You know, my wife was still in the hospital. And this Hasidic man came to me. He was also sitting there. He says, you know, I want to share an idea with you I heard from my Rosh Hashiva, the late Baba Rosh Hashiva of Moshe David Steinwurzel Zatzal, who was a neighbor of mine as well. And he said, you know what the idea of water is? I'll tell you the idea. And this is going to fit in to everything we said. See, when someone comes to your house, and, you know, he's like a hush of a person, and you're not so close to him. Like, you feel everything has to be perfect, and I have to impress him, and, you know, so I have to make sure, and if not everything's it's not perfect, you feel guilt, you know? But when your close friend comes to your house, you can give him water, and it's fine. Because you feel so close, you don't have to impress him. You don't have to impress her. You have such a closeness that you don't need it anymore. And that's the relationship we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And at Sukkot, the Yira is not the Yira that we had beforehand. We have this closeness, Hashem is inviting us in, and the Yira is not, you know, of course we always have Yira Shemayim, but it's the same, it's this closeness of Ava, so we can even have it over water. In other words, we're not trying to, you know, have to have that fear of impressing somebody, and that represents this closeness. Oh. Now, another idea that I want to share with you on this idea, a couple of other ideas. You know, one of the questions that's asked about Sukkot is why in the world do we celebrate Sukkot when we celebrate it? Nothing really occurred, especially on that day of Tezvav Tishrei. In contrast to what? Pesach say, that's when we went out of Mitzrayim. So something happened that day, so we celebrate Pesach that day. Nothing happened really, the Torah doesn't tell us something special happening on the 15th of what? Of Tishrei. So there's a famous idea that the Vilna Gaon articulates in Shir HaShirim, in the first parak of the beginning of Shir HaShirim, and he says the following. He says like this. The Jewish people, as we know, worship the Egel, and as a result of that, the Torah uses the phrase Vayar Ha'am Ki faruo, Parshas Kisisa. What does faruo mean? Like paras rosh ha'isha, by the sota, means what? Uncovered. So what does that mean, explains the Vilna Gaon? And when Klal Yisrael worshipped the ego, the Anone HaKavod left. In other words, we know that one of the special matanos that we have, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us in the Midbar, you know, was Anane HaKavod, that we were surrounded by these particular clouds, and that protected us in the Midbar. And we know that Sukkot, one of the reasons of Sukkot is Keneged what? Anane HaKavod. But again, Anane HaKavod surrounded the people the whole year round. There was nothing special about the 15th of Tishrei. But you know what? The Vilna Gaon says, no, there is something special. Why? Because we know that when Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel, the Pasuk says, Ki faruo, they were exposed, meaning Yanane HaKavod what? Left them. So they didn't have this protection. But after they were forgiven for that Avera, and they started building the Mishkan, says the Vilna Gaon, the Yanane HaKavod returned. So he says like this. We know on Yom Kippur, Yud Tishrei, Moshe Hashem says, Salachti Kidvarecha. Moshe was forgiven, Klal Yisrael was forgiven, and Moshe comes down from Har Sinai. on Yud Tishrei. Then says the Vilna Gaon, on the 11th of Tishrei, Moshe tells the people, okay, now you have to start building the Mishkan on the 11th of Tishrei. And what does the Pasuk say? Ha'am heviyu nedava, what? Baboker, baboker. In other words, they gave the donations in 2 days, the giving day. So they had 2 days of giving day. So what are the 2 days? The 12th, and what? And the 13th. The 14th, what happened? The craftsmen took all the different donations that were given to start to get everything together in anticipation of building the Mishkan. And the 15th, the Mishkan what? Started to be rebuilt. And then what happened? The Anonim returned. So says the Vilna Gaon, the idea of Sukkos wasn't just on the Anonim that we had the whole year. It was the idea that what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu returned the Anoni HaKavod to show that the forgiveness was complete. What does that mean? So in the Sefer, and I'll explain it to you more, there's a Sefer called Beis Elokim by the Mabit. And part of it is on Tefillah, part of it's on Tshuva. And he says like this, there are really two types of slicha, of forgiveness. And this exists between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and between the two of us, people and other people. So you can have forgiveness, slicha, but then, you know, person did something wrong to you, and they apologize, and you forgive them. But you know what? You don't really want to have too much to do with this person anymore. So you gave them slicha, but you don't want to restore the initial what? The initial relationship. But says the Mabit, there's another higher madrega that's called ritzui. Resh yud tzadi vav yud. Ritzui means you want things to miratzen, say Hashem Elokeinu. Meaning not only you want forgiveness, but you want things to be like they were before whatever happened. And that is the pshat, l'chora, as I'll explain in the Vilna Gaon. In other words, Hashem said, Salachti kidvarecha on your Tishrei. But the relationship wasn't the same, because he didn't restore the Anamei HaKavod till what? Till the 15th of Tishrei. And therefore, the relationship wasn't the same. But Sukkos says, represents the idea that we sinned, we made a mistake, Hashem forgave us, but it's more than that. You can forgive somebody and not want to reconnect with them. Or you can forgive somebody and want what? Have the relationship restored the way it was initially. And that's what Sukkos represents. Because the relationship represented by the Anon HaKavod didn't come back until the 15th of Tishrei. So now the 15th of Tishrei is something special, that specific date. It's not only just something related to Stam the Anon HaKavod. And that, Rabosai, is the idea of Sukkos. You see, Sukkos is not just Ava. It's not just slicha that we had. It's tshuva me'ava, saying that our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, or our achdus with our fellow Jew, is in totality. In other words, we started from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where we had this achdus, but not on a deeper level. We were all afraid. We were all part of this din that brought us all together. And then Yom Kippur, we have mechila from each other, but at Sukkos, we're all together in the sukkah. We're all, even if not, we're sitting in one physical sukkah, we're all together, and that's the ritzui, and that's when it comes back. And now we feel whatever rift existed in our lives between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, or between us and our fellow Jew no longer exists and is brought back together. The Beis HaElokim says a fascinating idea. And that's like this. We're coming up now, Rabotzai, this Motzai Shabbos. This is the beginning of Slichas. Sometimes it can be a challenging time, if those say, wake up early. It's not the easiest thing. But the main theme of Slichas is the Yud Gimel, you know, Midas Harach, that we keep repeating that again and again and again. And there's a lot of questions, how do you count the Yud Gimel Midas Harach? But one opinion is, in other words, the Arizal said, Kel is the first one. Kel, Rachel, Mechanun. But others say, no, Hashem, you know, is the, each one is counted, you know, is part of that. Now the Gemara tells them in the Masechta Rosh Hashanah, what does Hashem mean? Why two Hashems? What does that mean? So it says like this, Hashem means Ani Hashem Kodim Sheyechta, Ani Hashem Achar Sheyechta. That's what the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. So Hashem is Midas Harachim, as Elohim is Midas Adin. So the question that's asked by a different Mefarshim, why do we need Rachamim before we sin? Hashem, right? We have Hashem before we sin, Rachamim, and after. But I understand after we need Rachamim because we sin. Before, when do we need Rachamim? So some say the Rosh explains, because sometimes, usually, we say if a person has a thought to sin, it's not an Aveira, except for certain sins like Avodah Zarah. The mere fact, was thinking of Avodah Zarah is also, so that's the first Hashem, talking about the Machshav of Avodah Zarah. Rav Pilchas Friedman of Belz said once a different idea, based on the Kovas HaLevavos, that you know what, the Hashem before you sin, sometimes could be a worse Aveira, because before you sin, sometimes, that's great, you didn't sin, but it could bring something greater than sin. What could be greater than sin? What could be worse than sin? So you know what he says? Worse than sin is Gaiva. The person thinks, oh, I'm a perfect person, I never sin, I never do anything wrong. That's more precarious sometimes than actually sinning. So the person feels he's a balgaiva. You know, it's interesting that we know the Taryag mitzvahs, there's 613 mitzvahs, right? It's Gemara and Makkah, 613. So interesting, and there are different opinions. How do you count the 613? I would have thought maybe, you know, it's not to be taken literally, but the Rishon said, no, they take it very literally, and the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch made what? Exact counts of how do you count the 600, because they're much more. So how does it work? And you should know, the Chinuch, Sefer HaChinuch is very easy. If you want to find the mitzvah of the Sefer HaChinuch, you just know which parsha it's in, and then you count. You know the mitzvah is in Parshas Mishpatim, so you look up the Mishpatim and you find the mitzvah. The Rambam's count is very hard because we don't know the order. So if you find a mitzvah that you're interested in knowing where it is, memorize what number it is, because it'll save you time when you're looking for it again. You know, and that's became a very popular thing in this generation with Eretz Yisrael, and Rambam left out Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the 613. So that's like a big topic. You know, you could probably write the whole papers on this topic. How did the Rambam leave out, you know, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? That's a big thing. But the smog is not one of your things that you probably see so often. It's also a sefer that has all the mitzvahs. And there's a story that he writes that he finished the sefer and then he went to sleep. Finished the 613. And then, you know what happened? He had a dream. that the Baruch Shem came to the dream, and the dream was, you do the 613 mitzvahs, and you left out the most important mitzvah, or avera. And that's based on Sukkim in either Beschan or Ekev, it's repeated. Hishomer l'cha pentishchach. That's what the verse says in Soto Daf Hei, is the warning against being a Baal Gaiva. Because a person is a Baal Gaiva, he forgets other people, he forgets the Ribono Shel Olam, and that is the most important thing. So Hashem Hashem means you need the Rachme Hashem, that before you sin, which is great, but you should become a Baal Gaiva as a result of that. You should become a Baal Gaiva. And then, of course, Hashem afterwards. But the Mabit in the Beis Elokim says another interpretation. What's Hashem Hashem? You know what Hashem Hashem means? It means Hashem was a Rachamim before, Rachamim after. It means like this. Of course, beforehand you don't need the Rachamim. But the idea is to show that when Hashem has the Rachamim in the end, what is it? It's not just Slicha, but what is it? Britzui. Hashem Hashem. It's the identical relationship that we had beforehand. That's what we're going to have now. And that's what Sukkos represents. So we start off with the shofar. Tuku b'chol the shofar. And you know what the Gemara says? By shofar, it can't be from gold. Why? Because the Ekel Hazov, it was from gold. And Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. If we're trying to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the shofar, so we can't use gold because that's going to, Hashem is going to think about the Chet HaEgel. But the Gemara says, you know what? But we have the big days off of the Kohen, you know, so what? No, he says, only when you go inside the Kodesh Kadoshim, you can't have. So he says, the Gemara says, but when we blow shofar, we're not inside the Kodesh Kadoshim. So the Gemara says, yeah, shofar has the power as if we're in the Kodesh Kadoshim. But we're outside. So we're rachok, but we have kiyum in the Kodesh Kadoshim, but Sukkos, we're mamish inside. Because where are we? We're inside the Sukkah. And the Sukkah is Kodesh. And you know, the Vilna Gaon said, the two mitzvahs that a person could do with their whole body, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you're in your whole body, and what? And Sukkah. The sukkah, you're in there with your, so even though the shofar is also what? It's a ke'ilur inside, but it's ke'ilur inside. But we're still outside, and we still have the yira. And our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam is also the yira. But now we progress to sukkahs. And sukkahs, it's about simchaseinu. Sukkos is as man ruim kol Yisrael leisha b'sukkah akatz. It's the dal minim. In fact, some have the minim to do the shake the dal minim dafka where in the sukkah, because it brings it all together. And that's the ritzoy, as the Vilna Gaon explained. Sukkos is not just about ernit or noni akovid the whole year. It's specifically about the return. It's specifically about the ritzoy, and it's specifically about restoring relationships. So when we go through this Kufa, we're ending soon Kodesh Elul, and we're gonna go to, you know, and it's, we're going to Tishrei, and you should know another thing. The Yalkut Shimoni says, and a fascinating idea, that really, you know, to me it sounds very strange, like all these Yom Tovim, Hashana, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, all together, it's felt a little bit overwhelming. You know, it's a little overwhelming. So you know what the Medrash says in the Yalkut Shimoni? That really it was supposed to be like this. Like the Maharal says, every Chodesh in the spring and summer seasons was supposed to have a holiday. So we'll start like this. Pesach is what? Is Nisan is in Pesach. And what? Iyar is Pesach Sheni. Sivan is what? Shavuos. Tammuz Av and Elul was supposed to be Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur service. And what was Tishrei supposed to be? Shmini Atzeres. I could hear that. I'd space it out a little bit. You know, you might be in camp for Shari Yom Kippur, but you'll work it out. But that's what it was supposed to be. And then we sinned, and we gave over those months to Esav, and therefore they were all piled up by in Tishrei. But the original Kavana was it was supposed to be. So even though it's, you know, it's a little bit, you know, one after the other, but we should stop and understand the significance of each of these times. It's a time for growth. It's a time for meaning, to understand ourselves. You know, the speaker Rebbe once said, you know, sometimes you just have to take time out to make an appointment with yourself. You know, like sometimes we're so busy during the week, like, and we're doing a lot of things, good things, but then we never stop to, you know, to meet with ourselves, to understand ourselves, to understand what we need for the coming year, what was lacking in the previous year, what we need for the coming year. And these are times, you know, are pivotal times in our in the year. This is, you know, the foundation. You know, if you don't have a good foundation, then you don't have a building. You know, so if you have a good foundation, then there's what to build on, then it'll be sturdy. So these are the zmanim of Rosh Hashanah, of Kippur, Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeres. What we said here tonight, and there's so much more to say on these Yom Tovim. And it should be Zman Semcha. But the most important thing I would tell you, Rabbi Osai, besides everything we said, Yom Tovim are the happiest times of the year if people have other people to rejoice with. But people who don't, people who are lonely, they feel more lonely during these times. So the Zohar HaKadosh says one of the eager parts of Simchas Yontif to always try to invite somebody. Like when you're making your plans for Yontif, you know, this food and that food and this sukkah and this, say, you know, who in the neighborhood do we know that maybe doesn't have somebody or maybe we could invite over? Because that's the essence of the mitzvah of Yontif. Even Shabbos, we should do that also, but the Zohar HaKadosh says the real Iker thing is on Yontif. And that's part of our preparation for Yontif. To always, sometimes it could just be a family member, you know, an uncle, an aunt who lost their, whatever. So many different people in the world that, you know, just would love somebody to reach out to them, say hello, to bring them in, you know, and that's the real pinnacle of the Simcha of Yontif. So I would like to thank everyone for coming. It's always, as I said, it's always a meaningful experience to be here, and hopefully we should have other opportunities to share Divrei Torah and share good things together. So I wish you all a Ksiv L'Chasima Tov. What is your name?